بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 34th session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. يعني the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله. May Allah have mercy upon both of them. With the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue and hopefully complete the hadith that we began with last week. That is hadith number 29 from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. But before we continue where we left off with the explanation of this hadith, we want to go back and look at some of the issues that we discussed last week. From the questionnaire, the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 33. Yani, I think there were 10 questions in the original study guide. We didn't get but halfway through the explanation, so the last four questions were passed over to this week, and a couple of new questions were added. So it's a modified study guide, and hopefully, you received it by email. Okay, so let's just look quickly at some of the questions from last week's study guide, modified study guide for lecture number 33. First question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 29. The main topic or subject, summarized. Anybody? Naam, Talib. Okay, so coming to know, yani the question of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, coming to know what are the deeds, what type of deed yani would admit a person into paradise and prevent them from the hellfire. Now, that's the main theme of the hadith. Anything else that we could add from the important themes of this hadith? No.
Great challenge of getting to Jannah.
The great challenge of getting to Jannah and being saved from the hellfire. And this is not a small matter. This is not an easy matter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as azim. لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ azim. Something that is great, magnificent, difficult, tremendous. It's not an easy task. Now, any other themes from this hadith? Important themes from this hadith? Okay, we'll suffice with that. I'll just add to it, أبواب الخير, that in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only mentioned what it is that a person needs to do in order to be admitted into paradise and saved from the hellfire, but he also talked about extra good deeds, أبواب الخير, that may increase a person's station in paradise, that may increase their iman, increase their good deeds, and the expiation of their sins. And the last point that I want to mention, very, very important theme in this hadith, is the danger of the tongue. The danger of the tongue, of not controlling the tongue. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of this hadith is, somebody just mentioned his name, Naam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, and the collector, the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The third question, how is this hadith a proof of the falsehood of those who say we do not worship Allah out of desire for His Jannah, nor out of fear of His hellfire? How is this hadith a proof against that idea that people are worshipping Allah without desiring the Jannah, or without fearing the hellfire? How is this hadith a proof against that? Now,
that the companions of the Prophet showed their eagerness to find out ways to receive Allah's fadl and protect from His anger.
Naam, the position of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being desirous of knowing what are the ways, what are the means, what type of deed does a person need to do in order to enter paradise and to be saved from the hellfire. That means they wanted to enter the paradise and they wanted to be saved from the hellfire, contrary to these people who say we're not concerned about entering paradise or being saved from the hellfire. Now, so this hadith is a clear proof against that, and the Shaykh also mentioned some other matters. Question number four, how can this azim, this major, important, or difficult matter, be easy to accomplish, and for whom? Yani, how can something that the Prophet ﷺ described, you have asked about something that is azim, that is great, that is magnificent, that is extremely difficult. How can this thing that's extremely difficult be easy? And for whom? Now, Abdul Wali.
For the person who worships Allah without partners and establishes Salat and pays the zakat and fasts in Ramadan and makes the hajj.
Okay, that a person worships Allah alone and performs the Salat and Zakat and Siyam and Hajj. This is what a person needs to do to enter the paradise. But this is difficult. How can it become easy? Well, I think what would make it become easy? Now,
only by
Allah's fault. The taysir from Allah, that Allah is the one who can make it easy. As the Prophet ﷺ said, this is something difficult, but it is وَإِنَّهُ لَيَصِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Yani, it is difficult, but it will be easy. How it will be easy? By Allah making it easy. For whomever Allah makes it easy. Who will it be made easy for? The one who Allah wills to make it easy. Yani, it is made easy by Allah making it easy. By the taysir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for whom? For whoever Allah sees fit to make it easy for them. Yani, that Allah guides them, gives them right guidance, and causes them to accept it. And he gives them the ability to act upon that guidance and to do those things that are necessary as means to get near to Allah, to earn his pleasure in his paradise. The fifth question, memorize an ayat, in the 65th surah, fourth ayat, which indicates what a Muslim should do so that Allah will grant him yusra, ease in his affairs. What is it that a Muslim can do that will make a person's affair easy? Naam. Anybody memorize this ayah? We need to memorize this ayah. It's only a few words. Naam, fadl.
وَمَنْ
يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ
يَجْعَلْ لَهُ
مِنْ
أَمْرِهِ
يُسْرًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, then Allah will make for him from his affair ease. Allah will grant him ease in his affair. Whoever what? Observes taqwa of Allah. So from the means, from amongst the means of a person receiving ease from Allah in their affair is that they observe taqwa of Allah. That they be obedient to Allah, fulfill his commands and avoid his prohibitions. Question number 6. What is the most important thing with which one attains nearness to Allah? Entry into the Jannah and salvation from the nar, from the hellfire. What is the most important thing? Now, fadlu. Okay, before nawafil, voluntary fasting, more important than that. And before that, the most important thing that will allow a person to get near to Allah before nawafil, that's the means for extra nearness to Allah. The obligatory duties, and more specifically in this hadith, the five pillars of Islam. And the most important thing, meaning that there are many important things, right? And there are lesser important things. But the most of the important things, the most important, is the obligatory duties. As the Shaykh mentions in the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that there's nothing that my servant can do to get near to me that's more beloved to me than the things that are made obligatory upon him. And there's nothing that a person can do that to get near to Allah that is more beloved to Allah than the things that he made obligatory. And the most important of the things that he made obligatory are the five pillars of Islam. And question number 7, what has the Prophet ﷺ described in this hadith as being abwab al-khayr, the gates of goodness? What has he described in this hadith as being abwab al-khayr? Those extra things. Now,
fasting.
The fasting, voluntary fasting. Giving charity, voluntary charity.
And standing in the night.
The prayer in the night. Salatul layl, qiyam al-layl. And he said that from the abwab al-khayr, the doorways of goodness, the things that lead to goodness, the gateways of goodness, he mentioned three things, which are the most important. Which are the most important of those voluntary acts that a person can do, to increase their iman, and to expiate their sins, and to increase their good deeds and their station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their nearness to Allah, is doing those extra voluntary deeds. And the best of them are those three things, standing in the prayer in the night, voluntary charity, and voluntary fasting. These are some of the things that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue where we left off last week. Which, last week, we started to discuss, yani point number four. Now, point number four of the Sheikh's explanation on page 103, he's saying, Ala adulluka ala abuwab al khair. So we started to discuss that. We didn't complete that discussion. So I'm just going to rehearse quickly a little bit of, or review quickly a little bit of, yani what we mentioned under that point, and then go to where we left off at. Before that, I want to quickly review the hadith with us. Yani for anybody who may not have been with us last week, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu is hadith number 29 of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويبعدني من النار. Yani, he said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of a deed, an action, al-amal, that will admit me into the paradise and distance me from the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You have asked about something that is azim. This is not a light matter. This is a great, tremendous thing that you have asked about. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَصِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. But indeed, it is easy for whomever Allah makes it easy for. Worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him. Yani tawheed and avoiding shirk. Establishing the prayer, giving the zakat, fasting in Ramadan, and performing pilgrimage to the house. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ala adulluka ala abuwab al khair. And this is the second part of the hadith, the second part of the answer of the Prophet ﷺ. And we began the explanation of this part. Where he mentions abuwab al khair, he said, as-sawm junnah, that fasting is a shield, a protection in this life and the next life. As-sadaqah and charity, voluntary charity, extinguishes sins, just as water extinguishes fire. And likewise, the prayer of a person in the middle of the night also extinguishes sins like water extinguishes fire. And then he mentioned the ayah from the Quran, yani that begins with, yani their sides, yani tatajafa junubuhum an al mudaji. Yani their sides leave their places of rest, their beds, you know, to stand up in the prayer and to pray to Allah and to call on Him with hope and fear, until he reached the place where he said that no soul knows, yani what Allah has hidden for them as reward for what they used to do. After this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وأموده وذرتي سنامه. Shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, the most important affair, and its pillow and the highest point? He said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet said, the head, the رأس الأمر, it is Islam, its pillar, main pillar is the Salat, and the height, the peak of it is Jihad. And then the Prophet, and this we're going to be discussing tonight, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not inform you of milaki dharika kullu, yani the controlling factor of all of this, that will protect and preserve all of this khair. And he took hold of his tongue and he said, yani restrain this, yani take control over this. And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, shall we be called to account for what we say? And the Prophet ﷺ said, may your mother be bereaved of you. Not a dua against him, as we'll discuss tonight. He said, is there anything that would cause a person to be thrown down into the fire on their faces or on their noses, except the harvest of their tongues? And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said, it is hadith Hassan Sahih. So tonight, inshallah, we want to continue. As we mentioned last week, that this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gave detail, a detailed answer. The first part is, what is necessary for a person to enter the paradise? That is, yani, that they fulfill the five pillars of Islam. Yani, establishing tawheed and avoiding shirk, performing the obligatory prayers, the obligatory charity, obligatory fasting, and the pilgrimage to the house at least once in a lifetime. After this, the Prophet ﷺ began to give him, beyond what he asked about, he began to tell him about other things that are an increase in khair, abuwab al-khair, and that second part is where we were explaining and we didn't complete. So here, the first part of this point number four, shall I not direct you to the abwab al-khair, to the gateways of goodness? Fasting is a shield, charity extinguishes sins as water extinguishes the fire, and the prayer of a person in the middle of the night. And then he recited the ayah from Surah Al-Sajdah, 32nd Surah, 16th and 17th ayat. And we mentioned last week that the Prophet ﷺ told him, made clear to him the obligatory duties, yani the arkan of Islam, that these are a sabab, a cause or means through which a person might be admitted into the paradise and saved from the hellfire. After this, the Prophet ﷺ began to explain to him about abwab al-khair, that these are some extra voluntary duties, that actions that a person might do to increase their iman and to increase their reward and to expiate for their sins. And these three things that he mentioned were voluntary charity, voluntary fasting, and standing in the night. The Shaykh began to explain the first of them, as-sawm junnah, that fasting is a shield. And it's a protection. And the Shaykh said it's a protection in this world and the next life. It's a protection in this world from falling into sins. And it's a protection in the next life from the punishment of the hellfire. And the Shaykh mentioned some hadith concerning this. And then he said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadaqa tutfi'u al-khatiyata kama yutfi'u al-ma'a al-nar, that voluntary charity extinguishes sins just as water extinguishes the fire. He said this statement is a clarification of the greatness of sadaqa, voluntary charity, and that it extinguishes sins. And here he said it means the minor sins, the saghair, or the lesser sins. And the major sins are removed by tawbah with its conditions. He also mentioned that this comparison of sadaqah extinguishing sins like water extinguishes the fire is an indication that just as water, when it's poured over the fire, it removes its existence, so likewise, yani, the sagai, the minor sins, are also removed by voluntary charity. And then he mentioned... I think that that's where we came to. In fact, that was the point that we stopped at. We didn't actually go into that. So I'm going to go back a little bit and try to give a little bit closer detail to what the Shaykh said here. Yani, from the abwab al-khair, yani, from the doorways of goodness, is sadaqah, which extinguishes sins in the same way that water extinguishes the fire. He said this is a clarification. Fihi bayan. عِظَمْ شَعْنِ الصَّدَقَ النَّافِلَةِ. This is an indication of the magnificence and the greatness of the affair of voluntary charity. It shouldn't be taken lightly. Yani, if a Muslim knows that it's obligatory upon us to give, yani, zakat every year on the excessive wealth that we have above and beyond, yani, our needs, whatever we have that reached a certain amount, and we had it for 1 year with the conditions of zakat, that it's obligatory upon us to give that, then we should also know that voluntary charity that a person gives that's not obligatory also is an important affair. And the Shaykh is saying here that this statement in this hadith is an indication of the importance and the magnitude of voluntary charity. And some people imagine, if I gave my obligatory charity, that's good enough, I don't have to do any more than that. And you don't. But if you know the magnitude and the magnificence and the greatness of voluntary charity, then a person would do more. He said the voluntary charity removes sins and extinguishes sins in the same way that water extinguishes the fire. Here he said that what is meant by the sins that are extinguished by voluntary charity, he said it is the sagair, yani the lesser sins, not the greater sins. And then the Shaykh said, yani, and similarly, the kabair, the greater sins, are removed with tawbah. And then he said that the comparison of the Prophet ﷺ between the extinguishing of sins by sadaqah, comparing that to the extinguishing of the fire by water, يَدُلُّ عَلَى زَوَالِ الْخَطَايَا كُلِّهَا. Yani, it indicates the removal of sins completely. For indeed, what is observed or seen when water is thrown upon the fire is that it removes it until it doesn't have any further existence. And it takes it out of existence. The next point related to this matter of the abwab al-khayr is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَسَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. Yani, and likewise, just like the sadaqah extinguishes sins, so also the prayer of a man, and this includes women, the prayer of a person in the middle of the night also extinguishes sins the way water extinguishes the fire. This, the Shaykh says, is the third matter from the abwab al-khayr. The third matter of those important gateways to goodness that are above and beyond the obligatory duties. Those things through which a person gets near to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ recited, when he mentioned this, he recited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدَعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ. Yani that their sides leave their beds. Meaning they get up from their sleep, and they get up from their bed, calling upon their Rabb in fear and in hope. Yani fearing Allah's punishment and hoping for His reward. Fearing that Allah will not, yani accept the person's good deeds, and hoping that He will accept it. Yani with fear and hope. And also from what we have provided for them, they spend. Yani here in this ayah it mentions two of those, abwab al-khayr. The getting up in the night, praying, and also the spending of voluntary charity. He mentioned them together in this ayah, and then he said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ كُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And no soul knows what Allah has hidden for them. Yani the reward that will be the pleasure of their eyes, as a reward for what they used to do, for what they were doing of good deeds. The Shaykh says here, the Prophet ﷺ has informed. He says here, he mentions here that indeed the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that afdal as-salat ba'd al-maktuba, salat al-layl. Yani that the best, the most superior, the most excellent prayer after the obligatory, the five obligatory prayers, is the prayer in the night. Yani of all the prayers that a person might pray outside of the obligatory prayers, the best of them is getting up in the night. Is getting up in the night. And there's no indication here of how long a person has to get up, but we know that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray for half of the night, or a third of the night, or two-thirds of the night, as mentioned in Surah Al-Muzammil. Indeed, the person who got up and even just prayed for a few minutes, inshallah they will get some reward for this. Because this getting up in the night and leaving the sleep is a difficult affair for the human being. And therefore the person who does it, only does it out of love of Allah. Yani loving Allah more than they love their sleep. This is a challenge indeed for those who have iman. And we need to challenge ourselves with this. The best of the prayers after the obligatory prayers is getting up in the middle of the night. Or in the last third of the night. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, hadith number 1163. And of course this number, yani, is from the collection of Sahih Muslim. Yani that's the number in the collection of Sahih Muslim, and I'm not actually sure if the numbers run exactly in Arabic and English the same. There might be some variation in them, but yani generally it will be somewhere in that area. And it's not going to be like, inshallah, it's not going to be 100 numbers off, I hope. Allahu musta'an. Sometimes the numbers are okay. Like the translation of Sahih al-Bukhari from Dar es Salaam, yani the numbers are in accordance with yani the Arabic edition. In any case, the Shaykh says here that the Prophet ﷺ paved the way for the clarification of what are the abwab al-khayr. These abwab al-khayr with istifham, with a question, with an inquiry. He paved the way for the introduction. He made the introduction to this abwab al-khayr with a question. And that was, shall I not direct you to the abwab al-khayr? This is how the Prophet introduced the subject, with a question. And the Shaykh says here, because in this manner of introducing a topic, it draws the attention of the person, or in this case, the attention of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, to the importance of what is about to be conveyed to him, what is going to be presented to him. It shows him that something is important is about to come, so that he may get himself ready for it, and that he may prepare, yani, to retain, to comprehend, and to retain that which is being presented to him. After this, after these three manners, abwab al-khayr, the Prophet ﷺ goes into further detail in reference to the question of Mu'adh. He answered the question, what is it? What deed does a person do in order to be admitted into the paradise and safe in the hellfire? Yani, the obligatory duties. But first and foremost, the five pillars of Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes on in the second part of his answer to explain that there are other things that are not obligatory, that are abwab al-khayr, that they are extra good. And he mentioned what they were, those three things that we just talked about. The third part of the answer, the Prophet ﷺ says, قَوْلُهُ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ وَعَمُودِهِ وَذِرَّةِ سَنَامِهِ. Shall I not inform you of the ra's, the head of the affair, yani the most important of all affairs, and the amud, the pillar, the central pillar that holds the structure up, and the dhirwati sanam, yani the highest point, the peak, the highest point of the hump on the camel. What is the highest point of this affair? Mu'adh said, قُلْتُ بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ began to explain to him, رَأْسَ الْأَمْرِ al-Islam. Yani the most important affair, it is al-Islam. And we know from the beginning of the Prophet ﷺ's answer, that the most important thing of the five pillars of Islam is what he mentioned first. And that is, أَنْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That you worship Allah and you don't associate anything with Him. That is the establishment of Tawheed. The most important affair, he said, is Islam. And Islam is what? Al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. Yani that a person surrender themselves to Allah with Tawheed. And that they comply with His commands and that they avoid shirk and the people of shirk. As some of the scholars explained, yani as a technical definition of Islam, the scholars of Sunnah say, Al-Islam means al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. To the rest of the definition, the point I want to refer to here is al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. That Islam means to surrender yourself to Allah with Tawheed. So the Ra's al-Amr is Islam, it is a Tawheed. That is the most important of the affairs. Wa umuduhu as-salat. And its pillar, the pillar of Islam is Salat. Yani it's the most important thing. Just like the pillar of the tent. If it falls, the whole tent falls. And likewise, if a person abandons Salat, the Islam is gone. Yani they're no longer a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us a number of hadith which prove this point with crystal clarity. The Prophet ﷺ said the head of the affair is Islam and its pillar is Salat and the peak, the highest point is Al-Jihad. The Shaykh says, what is intended by Al-Murad Bil-Amr? Yani Ra's Al-Amr. What is intended by Amr here, he says? It is Al-Sha'nu Al-Ladhi Huwa A'azam Al-Shu'un. Yani what is intended by the most important, the head of the Amr? He said, it is that affair which is the most important of all affairs. وَهُوَ الدِّينَ الَّذِي بُعِثَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And that is the deen. The most important of all affairs is the deen which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has been sent with. وَرَأْسُهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And the head of this deen, yani the head of the affair, it is al-Islam. The deen that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has been sent with. And this is عام. It is general. It includes, yani the deen of Islam, yani it includes the salat and the jihad and other than them. Then the Shaykh says, also in this answer, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the salat. وَوَصَفَهَا بِأَنَّهَا عَمُودُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And he described the salat as being the amud, the pillar, the main pillar of Islam. شَبَّهَ ذَلَكَ بِالْبِنَاءِ الَّذِي يَكُومُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمِدَتِهِ. And then he compared this pillar, yani the salat, the pillar of Islam, he compared it to a building which stands upon its foundations or its pillars. So that if that main pillar falls, the whole foundation, the whole building falls. And then the Shaykh says, and this is the point, yani that the comparison here with salat being the pillar, the comparison, what is intended by this is that main pillar, if it falls, the whole structure falls. And that's what happens. Yani if a person leaves the salat, then they have left Islam. Al-ahd alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat. The Prophet ﷺ said, al-ahd, the covenant that is between us and them, between us and the kuffar, the thing that separates us from them, is as-salat. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. So whoever has abandoned the salat, then he has fallen into kufr. So the salat is the pillar of Islam. If it falls, the Islam falls. The person is no longer a Muslim. He said it is the most important of the physical acts of worship, al-ibadat al-badaniyah, of those acts which the benefit of it is, yani, limited to the person who does it. Yani, the salat benefits the one who performs it. Unlike zakat, which benefits the person who gives it and the one who it is given to. And then he mentioned al-jihad. And this jihad includes the jihad of nafs, that a person strives against their own nafs, their lower desires, or the nafs that orders a person to do evil, al-amar bisu. And it also includes jihad al-a'da, fighting against the enemies, from amongst the kuffar and the munafiqeen, the disbelievers and the hypocrites. وَوَصَفَهُ بِأَنَّهُ ذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The Prophet ﷺ described this jihad as being the height, the peak of Islam, the highest point of Islam. And that is because in jihad, there's strength for the Muslims, quwwat al-Muslimin, wa dhuhura dinihim wa uluwahu ala ghayrihi min al-adyan. Because in jihad is strength for the Muslims, and dhuhura dinihim, yani it makes it uppermost, superior to, and to overcome every other deen. And it makes it the highest, and the highest point. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah As-Saff, in Surah As-Saff 61:9, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولُهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرُهُ عَلَى دِينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. That Allah, He is the one who sent His Messenger with the huda, the right guidance, and the deen of truth, لِيُظْهِرُهُ, to make it to be uppermost, to overcome الدِّين كُلِّهِ, every deen, even though the mushrikeen may hate it. After this, the Shaykh says in point number 6, he goes to the third part of his detailed explanation that came as a result of the question of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, what is the thing that will admit a person into paradise and save them from the hellfire? After the Prophet explained that, he went on to explain Abuab al-Khair, then he went on to explain some further important matters. The most important of all the affairs, it is the Tawheed. And the pillar of Islam is the Salat. And the highest peak of it is the jihad. The Shaykh says that the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in this part of his answer, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ, shall I not inform you of that which is the controlling factor of all of this? Yani that which يَمْلِكُ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ, yani which has control over the whole affair. Yani whether or not all of this good that a person has done is going to be lost, or is it going to be preserved? He says, shall I not inform you of that which is the controlling factor of all of it? قلت بلى يا رسول الله. I said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. فأخذ بلسانه ثم قال كف عليك هذا. He took hold of his tongue, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then he said, restrain this. Yani, take control of your tongue. Protect and preserve your tongue from, yani, expressing that which is, yani, displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'adh رضي الله عنه, he said, قلت يا نبي الله وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. Yani, O Prophet of Allah, shall we be actually called to account? Shall we be punished? Shall we be called to account for that which we say just by saying something? And the Prophet ﷺ said, ثَقِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, may your mother be bereaved of you. Yani, may she be saddened. Yani, may she, yani, suffer because of the loss of her son. Yani, the death of her son. May she be bereaved by your loss. And the Shaykh explains the meaning of this after, in the end. What is important here, he says, yani after the Prophet ﷺ said this, he said, وَهَلْ يَقُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Yani he said to Mu'adh, is there anything that will cause the people to be thrown down into the fire on their faces or on their noses other than the harvest of their tongues? And is there anything else that is going to be a greater cause of a person being thrown into the hellfire than the result, the consequences of their tongues? Meaning that this thing, the tongue being out of control, is more likely, is going to be, yani, more impactful in causing a person to be thrown into the hellfire than anything else that a person might do. So after he said this, yani, this statement, this was the end of the hadith. The Shaykh says, this is a clarification, this statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Is there anything that will cause the people to be thrown into the fire on their faces or on their noses other than the harvest of their tongues? This is a clarification of the danger of the tongue. And that it is the thing that causes people to be thrown into destruction. وَأَنَّ مِلَاكَ الْخَيْرِ فِي حِفْظِهِ, yani that the controlling fact, the thing that will protect and preserve all of the good that a person does, it is the protection and preservation, control and mastering of the tongue. So that nothing will come from it except khair. Except so that what? Nothing will come from this tongue except that which is good. And then the Shaykh mentions two hadith here of great importance. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ reported by Al-Bukhari in hadith number 6474. مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَرِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani, whoever will guarantee for me that which is between his lips and his, or his jaws and his legs, I will guarantee for him paradise. Yani a person who controls his tongue and controls his sexual yani inclinations, desires. Whoever can guarantee that for me, that they won't allow it to be engaged in anything except that which is lawful, I will guarantee for that person paradise. Paradise. Person want to be guaranteed paradise? Control your tongue and control your sexual desires. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions here is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then he must say that which is good or he must remain silent. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, person really has iman in Allah on the last day, iman in Allah. They believe in Allah and what Allah has ordered and commanded and prohibited. And they believe that there is a day of accounting. Then they must say that which is good or they must remain silent. This hadith is azim as well. Qala ibn Rajab, in his explanation of this hadith in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikm, in the explanation of the 50 hadith, volume 2, page 146, and 147, this indicates, yani this part of the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shall I not inform you that which is the controlling factor of everything, yani controlling the tongue, protecting and preserving the tongue. He said, this is an indication that kaf al-lisan wa dabtahu wa hasbahu huwa aslul khair kullihi. Yani that restraining the tongue, controlling the tongue, restricting or confining the tongue, it is the foundation, the source of every good, controlling the tongue. وَأَنَّ مَنْ مَلَكَ لِسَانَهُ فَقَدْ مَلَكَ أَمْرَهُ وَأَحْكَمَهُ وَضَبَطَهُ. And that whoever controls his tongue, then he has controlled his affair, and he has mastered it, and he has subdued it. وَقَالَ, and he also said, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah also said, وَالْمُرَادْ بِحَصَائِدْ الْأَلْسِنَةِ. What is intended in this hadith, that there's nothing that, is there anything that will cause a person to be thrown on their faces or on their noses into the hellfire other than the harvest of their tongue? He said the meaning of the harvest of the tongues, Ibn Rajab says, it means jaza al kalam al muharram wa uqubatuhu. Yani, it means the recompense, the reward, the compensation, or the, yani, from the haram speech, the punishment that will come from a person's haram speech. That is what is intended by the harvest of the tongues. And in this world, people sow the seeds, and in the next life, they harvest, and they reap that which they sown. Ibn Rajab says that, for indeed the human being plants by his speech or by his actions hasanat and sayyat, good deeds and evil deeds, ثم يحسد يوم القيامة ما زرع. And then, on the day of standing, the day of resurrection, then he will harvest, yani that which he planted. The Shaykh says, so whoever planted khayran of speech or actions, good speech or good actions, then he will harvest al-karama, honor. He will be honored in the next life. وَمَنْ زَرَعَ sharran. But whoever plants evil of speech, evil speech or evil actions, then he will harvest tomorrow, yani yawm al-qiyamah, and nadama, any regret and remorse. But it will be regret and remorse that will be useless, because it will be too late at that point. Shaykh says, Dhahir hadith Mu'adh yadullu. The apparent meaning of this hadith of Mu'adh, yadullu ala anna akthar ma yadkhulu bihi annasu annara an nutku bi alsinatihim. Yani the thing that mostly people will enter the fire due to it is the what they say on their tongues. Akthar ma yadkhulu bihi annasu annara. And nutku bi alsinatim. Yani the most thing that people enter the hellfire due to it is the nutq, that which they pronounce on their tongues, their speech. For indeed, ma'asiyatun nutq, yani the sin of what is spoken on the tongue, yadkhulu fiha ashirk, huwa adam al-dhunub inda Allah azza wa jalla. A part of this, yani of what the sins of the tongue, is ashirk. Ashirk. Yani, associating something as an equal or partner, sharing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is His exclusive right. And this is the worst of all sins in front of Allah azza wa jalla, a shirk. So a shirk is part of the sins of the of what a person says, of their speech. وَيَدْخُلْ فِيهَا الْقَوْلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And also included in the sins of the speech is al-qawl ala Allah bi ghayri ilm, that a person says something about Allah or the deen of Allah without knowledge. Without knowledge. وَهُوَ قَرِينُ الشِّرْكِ. And it is the companion or the associate of shirk. Yani it accompanied. It is associated with shirk in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah mentions what He has prohibited. And in the end of the ayat, the 7th surah, 33rd ayat, وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yani that a person make shirk with Allah in a way that Allah has not sent down any authority. Yani with something that Allah has given you any authority to do. And he accompanied that with what? And that you speak about Allah, yani saying that which you don't know. Yani al-qawl ala Allah bighayri ilm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th surah, 33rd ayah, He has made the companion, the associate of shirk, yani speaking about Allah without knowledge. He has put them together. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, this shows the magnitude of speaking about Allah without knowledge. That just as shirk destroys a person's deen, speaking about Allah destroys the deen of Allah. Because the person says something about Allah that they have no knowledge of. So He made them as like being partners or associates of one another in that ayat. The Shaykh says also, وَيَدْخُلْ فِيهَا شَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ. And also included in the sins of what a person says is false witness. Yani testifying to something that is false. He said, أَلَّتِي عَدَلَتْ الْإِشْرَاقِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says something to the effect that, yani that this شَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ, or this false testimony, or false speech, lying speech, yani that this is, yani compared with, on the same footing with, yani associating something with Allah, and perhaps, yani he's referring here to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, in the 22nd surah, 30th ayat, the end of the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. So distance yourself from the filth of the idols, the worship of idols. وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. And also, distance yourself. He brought them together. Distance yourself from the worship of idols, and distance yourself from قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, from false speech, lying speech. And some of the scholars of tafsir said, يعني الشرك بالله في تلبيتكم. يعني the shirk with Allah that you say when you pronounce your talbiyah. يعني that the pagans, when they used to say the talbiyah in Hajj, they used to make shirk with Allah in their speech. يعني the point is here, that is showing the magnitude of false speech, of lying speech. And the Shaykh, he says, so this also, this has been brought together on the same footing with making shirk with Allah. وَيَدْخُلْ فِيهَا السِّحْرُ وَالْقَذْفُ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ وَالصَّغَائِرِ كَالْكَذِبِ وَالْغِيبَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ. He said, so also part of the, يعني مَعَسِيَةُ النُّطْقِ, the sin of that which a person speaks on their tongue, he said also included with this is magic. And false accusations, especially accusing somebody of zina. And other than that, from the major sins and the minor sins, like lying and backbiting and slandering. And then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, وَسَارَ الْمَعَاسِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ لَا يَخْلُو غَالِبًا مِنْ قَوْلٍ يَقْتَرِنُ بِهَا يَكُونُ مُعِينًا عَلَيْهَا. And even the other sins of actions outside of sins of speech, the ma'asi al-fi'liya la yakhlu ghaliban, for the most part they are not free of some kind of speech that accompanies them, which is helps them in doing what they do. Yani that even the sins of actions are generally accompanied by some kind of speech that aids and supports in that evil action. After this, the Shaykh and he mentions the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani when he said to Mu'adh, yani shall I not tell you the controlling matter of all this affair? And he said that is the preservation or the control of the tongue. And Mu'adh, yani is surprised at this. He's surprised at this, that the tongue, just what we say, we're going to call the account for that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, thaqilatka ummuk, may your mother be relieved of you. The Shaykh here quotes from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He says in his explanation of this hadith, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, فَقَدَتْكَ يعني ثَقِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ, yani means فَقَدَتْكَ, that your mother will lose you, has lost you. Yani, death, you died. So she suffered and she mourned and she experienced the pain of losing the child. He said, فَقَدَتْكَ حَتَّى كَانَتْ ثَقْلَ مِنْ فَقْلِ. Yani that she was bereaved. She mourned, she suffered, she grieved due to her losing you. That is the apparent meaning of this hadith. And then the Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةِ لَا يُرَادُ بِهَا مَعَنَاهَا. But this sentence, its meaning, its literal meaning is not what's intended by it. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is not praying that Mu'adh, that his mother be bereaved, that she be saddened, yani because of his death. That's not what is intended. He said, that is the literal meaning. He said, but what is it? That's not what's intended by this. He said, وَإِنَّمَا يُرَادُ بِهَا الْحَفْظ وَالْإِغْرَارُ عَلَى فَهْمِ مَا يُقَالُ. But rather what is intended is to encourage the person and to stimulate or to incite the person, yani to make an effort to understand what is being said. And if that statement is to make the person stop, yani to take notice and listen and try to understand the important thing that is about to be said to them. And that important thing that he said to him after that was what? Is there anything that would cause a people to be thrown on their faces or on their noses into the hellfire other than the harvest of their tongues? Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says not only that, yani that what is intended by this statement is not the literal meaning of it. But he says, rather, what came in this hadith and the hadith that are similar to it are really, what is intended by them is dua liman udifa ilayhi. Yani what is intended is that this is a dua for the one who those words are spoken to. It's a dua for them, not against them. And this is indicated by the hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2603, from Anas radiallahu anhu, containing the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Sulaym, ama ta'lamina anna sharti ala rabbi, anni ishtaratu ala rabbi. Yani, O Sulaym, do you not know that I have made a condition upon my Rabb? That is, I have made a condition saying to him, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ أَرْضَى كَمَا يَرْضَى الْبَشَرُ. Yani that he said, he's making a condition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying that I am only a human being and I am pleased just like other people become pleased. Yani with what they see or what they hear or whatever they come in contact with. وَأَغْضَبُ كَمَا يَغْضَبُ الْبَشَرُ. And I also become angry like human beings become angry. فَأَيُّمَا أَحَدٍ دَعَوْتُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي بِدَعْوَةٍ لَيْسَ لَهَا بِأَحْلٍ أَنْ يَجَعَلَهَا لَهُ تَهُورًا وَزَكَاةً وَقُرْبَةً يُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا مِنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, this is the condition that he made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm a human being, I become pleased as other people do, and I'm and angered as other people are. So anyone, any person that I made a supplication, da'utu alayhi, from my ummah, with a supplication, laysa laha bi ahlan, yani he is not deserving of that supplication. He's not deserving of that supplication. Yani this is not something that should be said against him. Then he said, يَجَعَلُهَا, O Allah, make it to be, that supplication made it to be, a tahura, yani a means of purification for him from sins. وَزَكَاتًا, and an increase in his good deeds. وَقُرْبَةً, and a means of nearness through which Allah will bring that person near to him on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And from the fine meticulousness of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, and the excellence of his arrangement of his sahih, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin is saying, from the meticulousness, yani dikkat al-Imam Muslim, وحسن الترتيبه, and the excellence of the way he has arranged his book, أنه أورد عقب هذا الحديث حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في قوله في معاوية. He said that he has followed immediately, yani this hadith, he has followed it, yani this hadith that he mentioned to Sulaym about the condition they made with Allah, he said he followed it with the mention of the hadith concerning the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma concerning his statement about Muawiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement about Muawiyah, in which he said, "La ashbaha Allahu batnahu." May Allah not fill his stomach or not gratify his stomach. Yani that statement on the surface appears to be a dua against somebody. He brought that hadith following this hadith to show this is an example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making a dua that's not against the person that he's saying it for, rather it is for them. So he said, yani the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, فَيَكُونُ دُعَانْ لَهُ وَلَيْسُ دُعَانْ عَلَيْهِ. So this would be a dua, a supplication for that person, yani not against it, against him. Meaning, it will be a means of purification of his sins, and a means of increase of his good deeds, and a means of nearness through which Allah will bring him near to himself on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And finally, the seventh point, yani the Shaykh, last point of this hadith, explanation of this hadith, I think is the last point, yeah, is the saying, I mean, are the benefits that the Shaykh has derived from this hadith, point number 7, on page 107, وَمِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ, from that which, yani, we benefit from this hadith. And the Shaykh mentioned 14 points, and by the mercy of Allah and His favor, and since we do have a few minutes left, inshallah, we're going to mention some other benefits from some of the other scholars, especially some of the 22 points that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentioned. Some of them, just a few of them. So from the points that Shaykh Abdul Muslim mentions here, the first point, حِرَسَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَمَعْرِفَةِ مَا يُوصِلُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Yani the eagerness and the desire, the great desire of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, for good in general, and their eagerness to know that through which a person will reach the paradise and be distanced far away from the hellfire. And this is obvious, yani, this is obvious from the beginning of the hadith that Mu'adh said, أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ, inform me of a deed that will admit me into the paradise and distance me from the hellfire. And also from that statement, the Shaykh mentions two more points from that statement of Mu'adh, and that is that al-jannah wa-nar mawjoodatan wa-huma baqiyatan wa-la tafniyan. Yani that the paradise and the hellfire are present. Yani al-ana, right now. They already exist. Wa-huma baqiyatan, and they will remain. La tafniyan, they will not cease to exist or come to an end. Abadan, ever. This also understood from this hadith that Mu'adh and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ knew that the paradise existed and they wanted to be admitted into it. And they knew that the hellfire existed and they wanted to be distanced from it. And the third point that comes from that statement, the Shaykh says, أَنَّ عِبَادَةَ اللَّهِ يُرُجَى فِيهَا دُخُولُ الْجَنَّةِ وَسَلَامَةُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That the worship of Allah, the hope is in it. There's hope in it of a person through it entering the paradise and being saved from the hellfire. Yani hope is in what? In the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ كَمَا يَقُولُ بَعْدُ الصُّوفِيَ, and it is not as some of the Sufis said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعْبَدْ رَغْبَةً فِي جَنَّتِي وَلَا خَوْفًا مِّن نَارِي. They said, some of them said, that indeed Allah is not worshipped being desirous of His Jannah, nor fearing from His hellfire. And this is refuted by, yani, the position and the station of the companions and Mu'adh, and the Shaykh mentioned the statement that Allah mentions concerning His Khalil, yani Ibrahim alayhi salam, asking Allah to let him to be from the inheritors of Jannat al-Na'im. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we heard in the khutbah today, used to ask, O Allah, we ask of you the paradise, and we seek refuge in you from the hellfire. Also, the fourth point that the Shaykh mentions, and the fifth point, is related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's introduction to his answer to Mu'adh, where he said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ, indeed you have asked about something that is عَظِيمٌ, وَأَنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ, وَأَنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, but it is easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. From this statement, the Shaykh mentions two points. Clarification in this statement is clarification of the importance of the deed that is being asked about in this hadith. Yani the deed that will admit a person in the paradise and save him from the hellfire. وَأَنَّهُ عَظِيمٌ. And this is also a clarification that that deed that is being asked about in this hadith is عَظِيمٌ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed you have asked about something that is عَظِيمٌ. Also, from that statement we understand أَنَّ الطَّرِيقَ الْمُوصِلِ, إلى النجاة شاق وسلوقه يحصل بتيسير الله. يعني that the path that leads to being saved from the hellfire is shaq. It is extremely difficult. It's a difficult path, a difficult task. But traveling it will be achieved بتيسير الله, by the ease that Allah makes. A person will only be able to travel that difficult path with help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, naam, with help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also understood because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is azim, it is a magnificent, difficult task. However, it will be easy. Yasirun ala man yasirullah alayhi. For the one that Allah makes it easy for. Yani the way that a person can travel this is by help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the beginning of the actual answer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the deed that a person must do to enter the paradise? The Shaykh mentions 4 points from that answer. Yani that you worship Allah and don't worship anything or make anything as an associate with Him. And that you establish the prayer and that you give the zakat and that you fast in Ramadan and that you perform pilgrimage to the house. From this answer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh mentions 4 points. Point number 6, that the most important thing which the human beings and the angels, الثقلان, the most important thing that they have been made responsible for is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the reason for which books were revealed, revelations. And this is the reason for which messengers have been sent. Yani to the human beings and the jinn. The most important thing that they have been made responsible for is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions first, before anything else, as a means of entering paradise and saving the hellfire, yani the tawheed, the worship of Allah alone. He also mentions from this, point number 7, أَنَّ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ لَا تُعْتَبَرُ إِلَّا إِذَا بُنِيَتْ عَلَى الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ, that the worship of Allah is not considered, it is not weighed, it is not taken into account, unless it is based upon the shahadatayn, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And these two testimonies, هُمَا مُتَلَازِمَتَانِ, are inseparable. They are inseparable. They go together. وَلَا يُقْبَلَ الْعَمَلْ إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ, and no deed that a person does will be accepted unless it is done sincerely for Allah alone with ikhlas and in accordance مُطَابِقًا لِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, unless it is done sincerely for Allah alone and in accordance with what the Messenger of Allah has come with. Also, 2 points from this statement of the first part of the answer. Number 8, clarification of عِظَمْ شَأْنِ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ, clarification of the excellence, I mean the greatness and the magnificence of the pillars of Islam, the 5 pillars of Islam, such that the Prophet ﷺ دَلَّ مُعَاذًا عَلَيْهَا مِنْ بَيْنِ الْفَرَائِدَ الَّتِي فَرَضَهَا اللَّهُ, because the Prophet ﷺ directed Mu'adh to these 5 things, which are known as the أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَ, the pillars of Islam, from amongst all of the faraid that Allah made obligatory upon the people. Allah made many things obligatory, but the Prophet ﷺ singled out these 5, showing their greatness and the magnificence of their affair, even over the other things that are obligatory. And the last point that the Shaykh makes from that statement, that هذه الفرائض مرتبة في أهميتها حسب ترتيبها في هذا الحديث. Yani that these obligatory duties, these 5 obligatory duties, pillars of Islam, are arranged in this hadith in the order of importance as they came in the hadith. Yani the first one that came is the most important, tawheed. And the second one that came is second importance, yani in the order that they came in this hadith. Then the Shaykh mentions 2 points related to the second part of the Prophet's answer. Shall I not direct you to Abwab al-Khair? He says from this part of the answer, he said, yani there's the encouragement, al-haf al-ityan bil-nawafil ma'al-ityan bil-farad, that we are encouraged to perform the voluntary deeds along with and after the performance of the obligatory deeds. Yani the Prophet ﷺ didn't suffice to tell him what are the obligatory things you need to enter paradise, but then he encouraged him to go above and beyond that, and he told him abwab al-khair, the voluntary duties that a person should do. From this we understand the encouragement that along with the obligatory duties, yani to the best of a person's ability, they should also perform the voluntary duties. And also from this statement in the hadith, من أهم ما يتقرب به إلى الله بعد أداء الفرائض الصدقة والصوم وقيام الليل, that from the most important of the things to which a person will continue to get near to Allah after they have fulfilled the obligatory duties is a sadaqah, voluntary charity, voluntary fasting, and standing in the night. Yani from the most important of the things after the obligatory duties are these three things. Then the Shaykh says, from the next part of the hadith, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ, shall I not inform you of the most important of all affairs, and its amud, which is salat, and its peak, which is jihad. From this, the Shaykh mentions two benefits. بَيَانْ عِذَمْ شَعْنِ الصَّلَاةِ, yani the clarification of the magnificence and the great importance of prayer, and that it is the main pillar of Islam. And he came immediately after Tawheed. The next point he said from this statement is Bayan Fadl Jihad, the clarification of the merit, the superiority, the excellence of jihad. وَأَنْهُ ذِرُتُ سَنَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and that it is the peak of Islam, the highest point, yani through which a person rises to high levels, and through which Islam is taken to be above and uppermost, above every other thing that the people invented in the earth, that they call deen. And the last point that the Shaykh mentions from this hadith is from the last part of the Prophet ﷺ's answer, where he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ, shall I not inform you of that which is the controlling factor of all of this, that brings all of this together and protects and preserves it? And he mentioned, yani he took hold of his tongue and he said, yani control this. From this, the Shaykh mentions, بَيَانْ خُطُورَةِ اللِّسَانِ, yani clarification of the dangerous nature of the tongue. وَأَنَّهُ يُفْضِي إِلَى الْمَحَالِكِ وَيُوقِي فِي النَّارِ, and that it leads a person to destruction, and it causes the person yani to be thrown in the hellfire. And this is the end of what the Shaykh mentioned. And after this, yani we have maybe 5 minutes or 3 minutes. A couple of points from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. He mentioned 22 benefits from this hadith. Obviously, we're not going to mention 22 of them. But in any case, the first point I want to mention from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, yani when he talks about the clarification of the question, the importance of the question that Mu'adh answers, he says in the end of his explanation concerning this point, he said, ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم أَنَّ هَذَا الشَّيْءَ الْعَظِيمُ يَسِيرُ عَلَى مَنْ يَسِرُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that this great difficult matter of entering paradise and saving the hellfire, he said, it is something that is easy for the one that Allah makes it easy for. The benefit the Shaykh mentions from this is that يُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ هَذَا أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَلْجَعْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي طَلْبِ تَيْسِيرِ الْأُمُورِ, that it is incumbent upon the person to seek refuge in Allah, to turn to Allah, asking Him to make his affairs easy for him. And if we know that Allah is the one who makes things easy, it is incumbent upon us to ask Allah to make it easy for us. وَلِيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ تَيْسِيرُ اللَّهِ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ لِقَوْلِهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And also, one must know that from the asbab, the causes or the means of earning ease from Allah, is that a person observe taqwa of Allah. And that's understood from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 44th Ayah, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will grant him ease in his affair. And another point that the Shaykh mentions, the ninth point from the benefits, he said, the presentation of issues to the student بالتشويق, yani that a person presents the issue to the student in a way that will cause that student to arouse his desire, to have a yearning for it. And that was understood from the Prophet ﷺ saying, shall I not point you to the abwab al-khayr? Yani saying, presenting the issue in such a way that a person has desire to know it. Also from the benefits that the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, benefit number 14, he says from the benefits of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ yastadillu bil-Qur'an, that he used the Qur'an as a proof for what he was saying. And when he talked about the importance of getting up in the night, he mentioned the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sajdah, Ayah 16 and 17. Yani the saying of Allah, تَتَّجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدَعُونَ رَبُّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقَهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Yani he mentioned this ayah as a proof of what he's saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani will reward a person with a great reward, what they don't even know. Yani a person doesn't know what Allah has in store yani, in store for them as a reward for what they used to do, like standing in the night in prayer and giving charity. Another point, point number 17, that the Shaykh, point number, and we'll go to 22 and then 17. From the benefits of this hadith is that a person should be careful in what they convey from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, from the speech of the Messenger of Allah. And this is understood from the narrator of the hadith saying, yani, is there anything that will cause the people to be thrown in the fire? Ala wujuhim aw qala ala, yani, on their faces or on their noses. He said aw qala, yani, meaning that he wasn't sure. Did he say ala wujuhim or did he say on their noses? And this shows the care and the meticulousness that a person must observe in conveying the speech from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْأَمَانَةَ التَّامَ فِي نَقْلِ الْحَدِيثِ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. He said, this indicates the amana at-tama, the complete yani fulfillment of the trust that they observed in conveying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last benefit that I want to make from Shaykh Uthaymeen, mentioned from him, is from the benefits of this hadith. أَنَّ تَارِكَ الصَّلَاةِ كَافِرٌ. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen said, from the benefits of this hadith is that the person who abandons prayer is a disbeliever. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَعُمُودِهِ أَيْ عُمُودِ الْإِسْلَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, that its pillar is the salat. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ الْعُمُودِ إِذَا سَقَطَ سَقَطَ الْبُنْيَانِ. And it is well known that if the main pillar of the structure falls, the whole structure falls with it. And this is an indication that the person who abandons salah is a kafir. وَهَذَا قَوْلُ الرَّاجِ مِنْ أَخْوَالِ الْأَحْلِ الْعِلْمِ. And this is the most, yani, the strongest statement, the preponderant statement of the yani opinions of the scholars concerning this particular issue, based on evidences from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the sayings of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, I have made this clear in a risala that I have written concerning this particular topic. And we're going to stop with this because the time is upon us. There were just a few more benefits, but there are lots of benefits. Alhamdulillah, so we'll suffice with these. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them and grant us understanding of them and place in our heart a desire to act upon yani that which we have been blessed with. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what we said or any correction or even a comment yani before the adhan, or after the adhan. Rather, we'll save it for after the adhan. Unless there's a correction. If there's a correction from something that we said, then we should correct it now before anybody leaves. And if not, then inshallah, after the salat, whoever's not in a hurry, then we invite you and encourage you to sit for a few minutes with us. بإذن الله تعالى.